someone else took them down with several careful shots. Durand didn't even see who had fired. She turned aside and stared at the wall, then down at one of the dead creatures at her feet.
Durand?
Haley said.
Yeah.
The major grabbed her arm tight and turned her so they were face to face.
I'm okay, boss,
Durand said. Haley's stern face communicated strength, safety, and cohesiveness, and Durand looked past the major at the rest of the squad. She loved every one of them.
We move on, Haley said. A quick, thorough sweep, and now we know what we're up against.
Do we?
Sprinkle asked. He kicked at a creature's corpse and it rolled from his boot, striking the wall and slicking down in a dark, wet mess.
Misra?
Haley asked. Misra was one of the Devil Dog's extraterrestrial experts, well-versed in most of the species encountered during humankind's expansion into deep space. He told Durand that he'd once seen a xenomorph, but it was from a distance, and he'd been glad it didn't come any closer.
Never seen anything like this, Misra said. Never heard of anything either. I've accessed all the quantum folds I can think of, and there's no record of this sort of thing anywhere.
Mean, spiteful bastards, Bestwick said.
Fire spite,
Sprinkle said.
Good name, yeah?
Durand looked down at one of the dead creatures again, keeping one eye on her suit readings in case they returned. The thing was a little smaller than her head, pear-shaped, with a scaly hide and four thin, membranous wings. It appeared eyeless, its mouth a circular pit, ringed with stubs of what might have been blackened bone or exterior teeth. It was one of the most peculiar, grotesque things she'd ever seen. She kicked hard, and it landed a few meters away with a wet, heavy thud.
You're sure?
Haley asked Misra.
Seriously, boss?
Misra asked.
A fire-breathing lizard bird. More movement ahead,
Sprinkle said. Durand looked at the major, expecting her to issue immediate orders. But she seemed distracted. She was staring at the mess that had been Edel's, frowning.
Major, we should take off and sterilize the facility, Durand said. There's nothing for us to save here.
But we've only just finished one wing in the central hub,
Misra said. Haley nodded at Durand.
Yeah. Nothing's worth this. There's no sign of survivors. Everyone's dead. And as for anything else, screw that. Okay, guys, back to the ship. We'll sheet gas the whole fucking place.
I'd say neutron bomb it to hell,
Bestwick said. But that's just me. I'll decide once we're airborne and safe, Haley said.
Move out.
We can't go, Misra said. Our mission's not complete.
It's complete when I say it is, Private, Haley said.
No,
Misra said, shaking his head. Just as Durand saw the subtle movement of Misra's comm rifle and caught a strange expression on his face, the fire spikes attacked again. Without warning, without any sensors picking them up, they powered along the corridor from both directions, emerging from shadows and service ducts, melting through doors as if they weren't there at all. They converged on the Marines with fire, swirling before them. Durand fired past Misra and took out a creature aiming for his back. It burst apart and spewed flame against the wall. Haley crouched with them, and they all opened fire, while Narcissi, Bestwick, and Sprinkle confronted the enemies attacking from the other direction. The corridor once more became a scene of chaos and destruction. Laser flashes seared the air and scored walls and ceilings. Nanomunitions exploded in spreading flares. And an occasional plasma pulse was also unleashed, warping and melting the structure, and frying a dozen creatures at a time. Durand's suit quickly registered an immediate spike in temperatures, both from the fire spite's assault and the Colonial Marines' high-powered weaponry. Her suit protected her, but she still felt the temperature rise.
Where the hell are they coming from? Bestwick shouted. Ease back this way, Duran said. We'll reach the blast doors back into the east wing, seal them up with a plasma burst, then run like fuck for the ship. Good plan, Haley said. Move out.
We got your back, Sprinkle said.
Durand, Misra, and Haley began edging forward, stepping over sizzling, spitting fire spites, shooting more down. Molten metal dripped from the ceiling in places, and Durand felt her suit hardening when one drip landed on her shoulder. Designed to offer some limited protection against a xenomorph's acidic blood, the suit worked well. Even so, her shoulder was now stiffer, its range of movement lessened. The ceiling ahead of them collapsed. A surge of fire spites poured down through the flexing, dripping metal, the fire, the hazy gas, and Durand thought, this is it. We're dead. She, Haley, and Misra unleashed plasma shots at the same time. Her visor darkened, and the combined blasts threw her back, suit hardening to protect her against debris, and the wave of plasma fire sweeping along the corridor. Systems glitched, and for a long few seconds, her readouts faded to nothing. Even her own vital signs indicators zeroed, before receptors and transmitters flicked on again, recovering from the energy surge and bringing her and her weapons back online. A hand grabbed her arm and pulled her upright. Haley. The attack seemed to be over. Creatures fled or dead. But something was wrong. Behind Haley, standing before the blazing ruin of the corridor and the burning fire spites, Misra was pointing his gun at them all.
This mission is not finished, he said. We haven't done a full sweep. Someone might still be alive.
What the hell? Sprinkle said.
Misra? Durand shook her head, dizzied by the firefight and plasma blast. Haley took a step forward, and the Marine switched his aim to her.
Sorry, boss, he said. Sorry, but we have to—
Everyone's dead, Bestwick said. You know that. We've seen the bodies.
This isn't about the living or the dead, Haley said. It's something else.
What else is there? Durand asked.
I smell the company on him, Haley said. Misra's eyes went wide, then narrowed as he shifted his aim up to Haley's chest. One squeeze of the trigger and she'd be spread all over the walls. But he'd also die. Durand could see that Misra knew that.
There's research, Misra said at last. We find it, retrieve it, we'll all be rich. All of us.
This is such bullshit, Bestwick said.
An operative from Armotech approached me, Misra said. Said if we got here and things were gone to shit, he could promise me a big payday if I retrieved the research being done here. There's a lab, deep down beneath North Wing. They've got something down there.
Got what? Durand asked. A xenomorph, Haley said.
You knew?
Misra asked, shocked. His aim shifted. Of course I knew, Haley said. It was part of my mission. Seems I got to you as a bit of added insurance. She shook her head. The fucking company.
We can still do this, Misra said.
His gun did not waver. I'm not risking the lives of my unit for another second. We're out of here, Misra. Everyone's dead and the facility is already toast. That's the story we tell.
You're stupid.
And you're a colonial marine. You've served in the Devil Dogs for 5 years. You'd really throw all that away for—
For 1,000,000 credits? Yeah,
Misra said, nodding hard.
Yes. I'm the boss now, boss.
No, Haley said. Misra frowned. Haley turned her head slightly to look past Misra, and the Marine's reaction was inbuilt, instinctive. He glanced back. Haley, Durand, and Bestwick
all fired at the same time. Two laser blasts took him in the gut. The third sheared off the top third of his head, spilling him back onto the fire-spite-spattered floor and splashing his scheming brains into the bubbling mess. Silence fell, interrupted only by Duran's heavy breathing. She felt no remorse. Misra wasn't the first person she'd killed, but it could be that he was the most deserving. "That didn't happen," Haley said, glancing back at the rest of her unit.
"What didn't happen?"
Nasissi asked.
"Let's move out." They almost made it back to the ship. Rushing back along the east wing, passing rooms and spaces already checked and cleared, Durand and the rest of the team were looking for danger from behind. It came from all around. The fire spites must have circled the facility and broken in from outside, drifting through empty rooms and waiting at closed doors for the Marines to close in. Spitting fire, melting through doors and dropping from the service-filled ceiling space above, their movement became apparent only moments before they attacked. Durand was covering their retreat. She turned and faced back the way they'd come as the shooting began once again, comm rifle bucking in her hand, targeting grid guiding her aim. Her companions worked silently, so tight as a unit that they almost acted as one entity, instinctively dividing target zones and ensuring all angles were covered.
70 meters,
a voice shouted, and Durand had never been so pleased to hear Hike.
Follow my signal, out through a storeroom and exterior door.
Let's move it,
Haley said. Even under fire, she was cool. Sometimes, Durand wished she was just like the Major. Someone screamed. Durand turned and saw a fire spite circling Sprenkel's leg, unleashing its flaming emissions against his limb. He fired at it, but kept missing as it came in close. His suit was protecting him, for now, but... The floor bucked. Durand stumbled and fell, striking the floor on her side. Winded, she rolled onto her back and took out a creature dropping directly towards her head. Its wet, blazing hot innards spattered down across her face, visor darkening and blinding her to what came next. The superheated floor dipped, then fell away completely, taking her with it. She shouted. She heard the others calling her name. But darkness swallowed her, even though the suit visor had cleared again. Twisting as she fell, she struck bottom on her right side and kept on falling. All sound was sucked away. Light flared and faded, flared and faded, as fire and laser bursts played above her. Just like being in space, she thought, because she was floating and weightless. Her suit glitched again, systems flickering, before all input fell to nothing. Darkness welcomed her down. She couldn't have been out for more than a few minutes. When she came to, she was bobbing against a floor in the flooded basement level. Her comm rifle held her down. It was the last thing she'd ever let go of, even in death. Her hand was locked around the grasp, and she used it to anchor her as she looked around. Her suit systems were dead. Perhaps an impact had taken out the CSU. Or maybe she'd sustained some damage that allowed water to flood in and short the whole suit. It was only pure luck that had maintained her oxygen supplies to her face mask. Without that, she'd have drowned. The ship, she thought. I have to hurry. She pushed herself up, standing so that the water came up to her neck, and looking around. The hole she tumbled through was 3 meters up and illuminated by flickering flames. No more gunfire.
Boss, she said. Bestwick? Sprenkel? Nasissi?
There was no reply, and she could not hear the telltale hum of an open channel. Her comms were as dead as the rest of her suit systems. "Fucking great," she said. Cautiously, she waded towards the wall and started climbing, using metal rungs cast into the structure. A heavy vibration shook the ground. She paused, then started climbing faster, heart sinking as she pulled herself up into the battle-scarred corridor. She emerged from the hole, just in time to hear the dropship's distinctive launch rockets blasting it up and away from the base. "Oh, no," she muttered. With her suit dead, her vitals would show that she was the same. Hefting the comm rifle, she looked back and forth along the corridor. For now, it was silent and still, but for the glow of flaming dead things and drifting smoke. "I'll message them," she thought. "Get back to a central control room, get comms working, let them know I'm still here. The Colonial Marines never left anyone behind." Yet, here she was. And there they were. Drifting closer from along the corridor. Maybe 50 of them. She spun around, and they were coming from the other direction, too. They seemed slower than before, more contemplative. Maybe they were afraid after she and her companions had unleashed such destruction on their blazing hot bodies. Or perhaps they were more intelligent than that. "They know I'm stranded," she thought. "They're going to play with me." "Fuck that," Duran said. Checking her comm rifle's charge, finding it sufficient, she hefted the weapon and braced her legs into the familiar firing stance. "Come on, then, you bastards!" she shouted. "Let's get busy!" Her finger stroked the trigger, and the world caught on fire.
This concludes the reading of Aliens, Bug Hunt, edited by Jonathan Mayberry. Trademark and copyright 2017 by 20th Century Fox Film Corporation. This book was read by James Anderson Foster, Eric G. Dove, R.C. Bray, Chris Andrew Shula, Nicole Zanzarella, James Patrick Cronin, Suzanne Elise Freeman, Andrew Iden, Michael David Axtell, Grover Gardner, Priya Ayar, Peter Burkrot, Emily Sutton Smith, Hilary Huber, Keith Sarabica, Greg Tremblay, Kevin Kennerly, and Amy Landon. This unabridged recording was produced in 2018. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Publishing. If you would like to obtain a monthly update telling you about new releases, call 1-800-SAY-BOOK. That's 1-800-729-2665. For a complete listing of our titles, visit our website at www.downpour.com. Thank you.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.